May be seated. Take your Bible this morning. Open it to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, if you would. Acts chapter 13, if you open your Bible there. Been preaching in the book of Acts now for a while. And say, how long? Well, till I get to the end of the book. And not trying to cover every verse at all, but just preaching as the Lord leads as we go along. And just want to look at two verses this morning, if we could. Acts chapter 13, I want you to direct your attention down to verse 38. The Bible said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. I don't want to preach today what I want to say, but Lord, I sure want to say what you'd have me to say. And Lord, I pray you'd use me today as your mouthpiece, that I'd speak the words you'd have these folks hear. And Lord, that there'd be good attention. Folks would focus on the Word of God, and that the Spirit of God might use that Word to deal with every heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beginning in verse 16, by the way, this is on Paul's first missionary journey that he went on. And beginning in verse 16, he stands up and preaches in the synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. And as he begins preaching, he did what he would often do. As you read some of the sermons of the Apostle Paul, he gave an abbreviated history of the nation of Israel, all right? And now, especially, remember, he's speaking in the synagogue, all right? Now, in case you're not aware of it, the synagogue was the meeting place for the Jewish people, all right? And that was his modus operandi, if you will. He would go into a place and he'd go into the synagogue. And remember, Paul had been a Pharisee, and he said a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I nearly called him a Philistine, not a Philistine, but a Pharisee. All right, and a Pharisee of the Pharisees, And he would get into the synagogue and he'd begin to speak. And when he'd begin to speak, he'd speak on the history of his people. The folks would pay attention, they listened. But all of that history was groundwork that he laid to promote the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David. And that's what he did in this message, all right? He rightly pointed out that it was the seed of David, that from that seed that God raised up a Savior unto Israel. That Savior was Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23, all right? Verse 23, we didn't read it, but it says, "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, when we get to our text verse, Paul made it very, very clear as to the truth of what was available through this man. Through this man. And I want you to look at it with me, if you will. I want you to know, first of all, he made very clear as he proclaimed the person he was talking about. I believe it's important. I believe it's correct. I believe it's complete to correctly and completely identify the person that's being presented. We don't want them to leave there wondering, well, who are you talking about? All right? And he didn't do that. There are some songs that are sung today as gospel songs, and it says he and him, but it never really identifies the he or the him. And I like songs that identify who that he or that him is. And Paul made it plain. He said, we're talking about the Savior of the world. He said it was Jesus Christ. He went back in there. Now remember, he's talking to a bunch of unbelieving Jews, all right? He said, this is the one that they took and they crucified. even though, as he explained in these words, no cause of death was found in him, but they crucified him anyway. And he said, that's who we're talking about. He said, that's the one that's the Savior of the world. Now, can I say this to you and make it plain? That's the same Jesus we preach to you today. It's that same Jesus. Everything we preach is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we preach. I'll just be honest with you. Were it not for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here today. I'd be doing something else. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I'd be doing something else. Hey, the Bible said he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. All of our faith is bound up in him. Bound up in him. I read yesterday online where Stephen Hawking said he chose to believe there was no God. He doesn't believe that anymore. He doesn't believe that anymore. Stephen Hawking was a genius, but he didn't know the simplest truth about Jesus Christ and about God. Hey, when it comes to Christ, our faith is bound up in him. In him. So what do you mean, preacher? How strongly? Just this strongly. And over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, the Bible correctly says that had he not been crucified and risen from the grave, then our faith is in vain. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. But he did rise from the dead. He did. That's the Jesus we preach today. It's that person who we proclaim to you. I'm not up here bragging on this guy here. I talked about some faithful Christians that have served the Lord through this church. But can I say this to you? We're not bragging on them. We're bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ that saved their soul and used them and does the same thing for us today, all right? Then I want you to notice what he said. He said it's this same man. It's through this man that we got a present. Notice there in your verse, it says that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. It's through Jesus Christ that forgiveness is available. Available. Through him. You and I often find it hard to forgive. We find it hard to forgive people. People do something, they wrong us. We find it very hard to forgive. You ever stop to think what you have in Jesus Christ? In the forgiveness of sins? Hey, here's the truth. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Every one of us. Brother Blanton and I were knocking doors on Thursday night together. We kept knocking on door and knocking on door, and nobody came to the door. At one house, the blinds were open and I saw the people. And they were there. The girl, young girl, maybe fifth grade, something like that. Fourth grade, she come up to the window and looked at us. I waved at her. And you could tell she went back and talked to somebody. You saw other people because you could see all the way through. And then you saw parents. I'm assuming they were parents. They were adults. They came look. And so then here comes these two bounding across the way, and I thought, praise the Lord, going to open the door. They reached over and closed the blinds. Said, you can leave now. Thank you for your hospitality. Well, I mean, nobody opened the door. We were walking along. I looked across. There was a fellow sitting in a park at a bench. I told Brother Blanton, hooey on knocking on these doors. There's a guy. He'll either run or he'll talk. And we went across there and sat down with him. I said, hey, can I talk to you a minute? And he, I guess so. And sat down beside him there on that bench and began to talk to him about the Lord. And I said the same thing to him. I just said to you, we're all sinners. We're all sinners, every one of us. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have, all right? And the truth, through that, we've incurred a debt. Now, we're sinners. But what we do habitually, constantly, we get to the point where we don't think about it very much. But I want you to remember this. When you sin, and because of sin, you've incurred a debt. You incur a debt you cannot pay. It's not something you can pay for. It's not like you hitting a baseball through the neighbor's window and said, okay, I'll pay for that. You can't pay that debt. Well, it just can't be, nothing. With sin comes a stain on life. With sin comes a guilt that hangs over the head of all men. We get that guilt. And there's some people, they deal with it by looking for the bottom of a bottle. And they drink because of the guilt of sin. In our day, it's popular to take dope to forget and overcome the guilt of sin. But we've got that guilt and you cannot erase it. You don't find it at the bottom of the bottle. You can't find it through a needle. You can't find it puffing on some funny cigarette. You can't do it, all right? Now, we can do this. We can look around and try to smooth over that sin problem. We can look around and say, well, hey, I'm no worse than anybody else. We can try to ignore it. You want to, you can try to deny it, but you know what? Still there. Still there. What a marvelous thought. Marvelous thought that Jesus, through this man, we can have complete forgiveness of sin. Complete forgiveness of sin. On that park bench next to that young man, took the Bible and went through it, began to talk to him, began to see the tears come in his eyes, to talk to him. God gave us the privilege of seeing that man bow his head and call on the Lord to save him. What a joy that is. See somebody get the forgiveness of sin. But wait a minute. There's a prerequisite. I knew it, preacher. I knew there was a catch. I knew it. Here you are preaching all of this. What's the catch, all right? You know, here we are human beings. We hear about something that's good, and we think, all right, but what have I got to do? What's this thing going to cost me? You know, how can I obtain that? That pessimistic man figures it'll be out of reach for me. Totally out of reach. Well, the answer, although in our case, is so simple. So simple. Would you look at verse 39? Notice, by him, now don't lose track of that. By him, that's through this man. All that, what a wonderful word. Believe. Believe. So what's the prerequisite? You got to believe. That's the only prerequisite to receiving. Simple, childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe. You have to believe what he says. You have to have faith in what he tells you, all right? I sat with an open Bible with that young man on that bench and went through the scriptures, but it was up to him to believe the Lord said that and meant what he said. It's up to you to believe. I can get up here and I can plead with you and I can beg you and I can do everything I can, but it's still up to you to believe. It's up to you to say, I believe that. I believe that. I've heard a lot of things in my life I didn't believe. A lot of things in my life. Sometimes I was right in not believing. Sometimes I was wrong in not believing. But it's still up to me to believe. It's up to me to believe. And it's up to you. Hey, but you ever stop and think what a joy it is to realize, to know there's no limit placed upon that believing? Because it says all that believe. All that believe. I don't know about you, but I like all. I liked it when somebody said, now everybody, all of you are going to get this. I like those deals. I don't know about y'all, but I've never been a fast runner. Even when I was young, I was built for comfort, not for speed. Never been that. And if it's, man, you got to run to get that, forget it. You'll win, I'll never get it. But I like it when it's available to all. What a joy that is. The Bible says all that believe. All that believe. And it's there available. You can't say, well, it wouldn't be me. It's you. All that believe. All that believe. It's not a limit on it. But don't you notice through this man there is a promise. And I, as I read these verses, I think this way it keeps getting better and better. Just keeps getting better and better. Says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful thing that is to have that forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. All that believe. But wait a minute. Notice what it says in verse 39. It says, by him all that believe are justified from all things. Justified from all things. He said, what's the difference between forgiveness of sins and justified? Justified carries it a whole lot further. Carries it a whole lot further. If you're forgiven, okay, you're forgiven. But can I say this? The record's still there. You got it? Record's still there. I almost started to ask, any of you ever been hurt real bad, but you decided, I'm going to forgive that person. And you forgave them. But you and I have a problem. We can't forget. We can't forget. We can forgive, but we can't forget it. But when I tell you, when the Bible talks about justification, when it says by him, that's through this man. Don't forget that. By him, all that believe are justified. Notice, there's two alls in that verse. All that believe are justified from all things. Everything, all right? Justified means the debt is completely gone. It's not there anymore, okay? All others have said to be justified, and they've said it this way, it's just as if I'd never sinned. That's a good way of putting it, all right? The slate is wiped clean. A complete, total work of God because of what His Son made available to us by His death on Calvary. A complete eradication, all right? Today you can try to take your phone and wipe it clean, the memory. You can text or you can get pictures or whatever else you can do on this thing that I don't do, all right? And you can try to erase it and get it. But if somebody's really talented and really got some ability, they can go back in there and find it. You get on your computer and you say, well, I'm going to erase that. But it still leaves a footprint, if you will. That data can be removed, but it leaves a trace. Can I say this to you? Justification removes the trace, removes the sin, removes its stain. It is no longer there. You stop and think about that. Through this man, all who believe can be justified from all things. All things. It's erased. It's gone. It's not there anymore, all right? Hey, can I say this? The Bible said that's what the law of Moses could never do. the law of Moses. You go back over there in that Old Testament, you read that law, and boy, there's one thing after another in there. It is over and over, and boy, things dealt with daily life, and it was all there. But if you kept every bit of that, it could never take away sin. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. The Bible even said the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But wait a minute. You get this through this man. All who believe are justified from all things. What Moses' law could never do, the blood of Jesus Christ can do and will do if you will believe Him. If you will receive Him. Hey, we look back. You remember the day you got saved? I look back. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the burden that was lifted. There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me, He took away my heavy burden, and He gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real and I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I was there. But you want to tell you something? I didn't understand all of that. I didn't have a grasp on that. I just understood I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. But man, as I began to read the Bible and I began to understand, now I've got forgiveness of my sin, but it's even better than that. I've been justified. And before God, He doesn't see me as a sinner anymore. The record's been wiped clean. Can I say this to you? It don't get much better than that. It don't get much better than that. There's some of you sitting here, you've got a record. You've got a record. It's possible to look it up. You're a lawbreaker. Maybe some of you here, I don't know what you've done, and that's fine. I don't want to know, to be honest. You got a record. You can't wipe that clean. But you got a Savior. Or you can have a Savior that'll wipe your record clean. Man, I like it over there in Corinthians where Paul begins to talk about, you know, thieves and murderers and adulterers. And then he says, and such were some of you, but not anymore. Not anymore. Why? Been born again through this man. Through this man, Jesus Christ. What the law could never do, He did it. He did it for you. Can I say this? That's why we preach Jesus Christ today. Why you make such a big deal about Him? Because of what He did for me. But what He can do for you. What He will do for you if you'll let Him. That's why we make a big deal about it, all right? He's the only hope. The only hope for you and me. That's it. Hey, there's no hope in government. And there's no hope there. The amazing thing to me is when Paul preached this way to these folks in Antioch of Pisidia, he was not received with open arms. They didn't rejoice over the truth. As a matter of fact, you read on through the chapter and you see the Jews got excited, they got stirred up, and they expelled Paul and Barnabas from their midst. It ran them off, all right? You say, yeah, they do it, but you know what? People still do that. They still react that way to the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. If we want to, we can accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can accept Him today as He's presented to you in the Word of God. And as he's preached to you this morning, you can accept that person. You can believe what he said. You can believe what he said. It's up to you. If you do, you're going to experience what he promised. Forgiveness of sin. You say, but preacher, I still struggle. Here's the truth of the matter. There's some people I know, God's forgiven them, but they cannot forgive themselves. Can't forgive themselves. You're sitting here. Can I say this to you? If the Lord's forgiven you, you just forgive yourself. Well, I can't believe I did it. Okay. But he's forgiven you. You forgive you. Let it go, all right? Man, if you'll do that, you can then enjoy his forgiveness. You can then enjoy the blessing that justification brings. Some people, though, trust him, and then they fight against him. They fight against him. They resist what he wants to do in their life. They resist the working of his Holy Spirit in them. I can't do that. Preacher preaches if it's me or somebody else, and conviction falls, and you fight against that conviction. I read that about those Jews that heard him preach Jesus Christ, the seed of David, the Son of God. He said they killed him for no reason, no cause of death in him. They killed him. But I'll remind you, through him, through this man, is forgiveness of sins. Through this man, all who believe can be justified of all things. Man, there you are. What an offer. What a presentation. And those people run him off. Get out of here. We don't want to hear it. You said, I can't understand people doing that. Well, wait a minute. You're here this morning. You're saved. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And as he begins to convict you of things, you run him off. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I can't give up this. I can't give up that. I can't go that way. Yes, you can. You'll just believe him. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. If you'll get all the way in, you're just going to want to serve him. You just get all the way in. Through this man, life is to be found. Have you found that life? Have you found that life through this man? The preacher got saved. Okay, now the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about your life. What are you doing now? Fighting him? How foolish. How foolish can we be? Oh, through this man, all who believe are justified of all things. Through this man, there's forgiveness of sin. Listen, I don't have a better thing to tell you. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's no better news than that. All things, you believe they're forgiven. Then he gives you the opportunity to serve him. He begins to want to work in your life. I'm glad when he saved me as a 9-year-old boy, he did not say, on your own, buddy. Go ahead, I'll leave you alone. When you die, I'll take you to heaven. No, I'm glad he didn't quit there. I'm glad he's working on me. We like to hear kids sing, he's still working on me. But I'm a 70-year-old man that rejoiced because he is still working on me. I'm glad he is. I'm going to let him work. How about you? What are you going to do with him? You're here this morning. You've never trusted him. You've never put your faith in him. You've never really believed him and received that gift of forgiveness of sins, that gift of eternal life. You could do it today. You could do it today. Would you do it? Would you do it? You're here this morning. You've trusted him as your Savior. You said, preacher, I remember when I got saved. But what are you letting him do in your life now? What's he doing in your life now? Oh, let him work. Let him work. Would you stand with every head bowed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We've read the Word of God. And Lord, there's many here this morning that have taken you at your word. They've believed. They've received forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we've been justified, but we've overlooked it. We don't realize what we have. And now, Lord, you're still working in us, and your Spirit deals with us. And Lord, we resist that. Would you help us to give in today? Would you help us to quit fighting against the Holy Spirit? But Lord, to receive you today and let you have your way. Lord, if there's one or two or three this morning that have never trusted Christ, Lord, they may be a member of the church, could be baptized, they could all of that, but they've never been born again. Would you help them to come? Would you help them step out, walk down the aisle, meet me at the front, and say, "Preacher, I just need to trust Christ today." Lord, would you help us take advantage of the invitation to use the altar and to let you to work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.